the, what do you call it, the synapses are firing a little bit more slowly.
What we have here is the first couple sessions of Vazen. It's set in a mythic 19th century Sweden. Our characters are people who've had experiences with creatures of folklore. We've inherited a broken down mansion / castle from the former leader of a group that used to investigate these creatures and have taken up their abandoned mission. Tad GMs, Wilhelm plays Niels, a shop owner and former butler, and I play Franz, a former soldier schooled by the church.
We open. It's a sort of early spring morning, or perhaps late winter, but everything is not quite iced over quite as heavily as it was. You wake up on a Sunday morning, and Franz, you see that Ingrid has set out your suit for you.
Did you marry her?
No.
Oh, so she married somebody else.
Yeah.
Oh, she married someone else. This is not, she is not Franz's wife. Franz is not married.
I figured she had a different last name than Franz.
Yeah, so. I was like, what's going on?
Maybe that was the dream he was having.
Yes. You were dreaming that you were married and that she had set the things out for you and was getting breakfast ready, but you wank. The suit is there, and you vaguely recall that you hung it up the night before, because it has not been that long since the priests came to Gillenkreutz, and y'all had to talk your way out. So you had earmarked on the calendar that today was a day to go to church, to at least performatively be seen attending service.
Get dressed and look to collect Niels.
Are you staying in Gillenkreutz now, or do you still room in your own house?
Probably more interesting if we're staying there.
I guess it saves me rent money.
So you pick your way down the hall. Apparently you've probably done some clearing up at this point, so you're not in immediate danger of tripping over anything. And you do hear some noise in the kitchen. It's possible that Algot Frisk is at least boiling some water, got some tea on, so that you can have some kind of breakfast before you head out. And you arrive at Nils's door.
That kind of thing. Time for church.
All right, so the door opens a moment after you knocked. He's kind of buttoning up and straightening his... he would have a tie. Yeah, he would have a tie. It's that advanced, I think. It's his Sunday best, right, which is the pauper's best. Not terrible. And I think he has like a small coffee grounds tin in his hand, and he's kind of hiding a small grain alcohol bottle in his other hand for his customary breakfast drink. I'm almost done.
Oh, let's meet up in the kitchen and head out.
Say, damn god bothers. No offense.
Just don't say that around the priest.
Of course not. I don't know. I wouldn't. Of course not. I shall endeavor to be my most presentable sergeant.
All right. And in the kitchen, Algot Frisk has laid out whatever is customary for your breakfast. He has not laid out the alcohol because he knows that you take care of that before you come to breakfast.
I have to make my coffee first so I can put the alcohol in it. But he has hot water, right? So I can take care of that.
Right.
I don't even acknowledge that he's there. I just go and start doing my coffee.
Good morning, Mr. Leiden and Mr. Ross.
That lingering resentment of a butler who doesn't like being butlered. Somebody who's probably a better butler than him.
Nevertheless, he has his duties. And presently, you hear the cathedral bells. So, it sounds like they are ready to begin service. We had perhaps better get going.
Yes.
So he tries to lock up as best he can, but given given the recent incident where the front door was damaged, he's having to make do with perhaps propping it closed with a brick for the moment. Passes a padlock through a chain on the front door, and it is not a terribly long way to where you go to Cathedral.
Remind me, Sergeant, why you convinced me to sleep in this drafty ruin?
He said something about expenses and saving of your meager fortunes.
Economy, yes.
Does not Mr. Rosk have a room above the store? I will not complain, though.
He doesn't own his home, I think. He rents his home.
Ah, I see.
So, and he rents his store space, I think. So
okay.
It does save him rent.
So someone else probably has the apartment above the store. It's perhaps 3 or 4 blocks down to where you cross the river to go to the cathedral, and the people are going in. I don't know if this is probably an era where they have pews and benches in the cathedral, or do people have to stand? But anyway, they file in. But during sermon that day, the priest, he preaches about times of adversity and solidarity and looking out for each other. And at the end, or towards the end, he asks all of the parishioners to keep the archbishop in their prayers. As all of you may know, or perhaps you may not know, recently, a couple of days ago, the archbishop fell very sick, and we would like you all to be keeping a special place for him, praying for his recovery. Then they celebrate the Lord's Supper, they send the wafer plate and the wine around, and of course the donations plate was passed around during sermon, and then the service closes.
Ah, yes, Neil says when the collection comes his way. I knew I was saving my rent money for something, Sergeant.
Through the goodwill of the community, then.
Did you hear about this archbishop falling ill?
No, first I heard of that.
You should do fine, right, with all these donations?
Lord works in mysterious ways, and who knows when he may be called to heaven.
Ah, yes. Probably have to let all this go, because I don't want people nearby to start spreading rumors that I'm being less than pious.
Mm-hmm. As you are getting up, not sure exactly what your relationships is, but he's a police constable, fairly respected police constable that you've had contact with. Seems to think well of you, Mr. Son Jacobson. Or is it Jacobson?
Whatever works.
Son Jacobson comes and talks to you. They've got everybody praying for him, but I think that perhaps they don't want to panic everyone, but I heard that it was pretty bad.
What happened? Is it illness? Accident?
Oh, it's an illness, certainly. They say that for the past 2-3 days, he hasn't been able to keep anything in him, that he can't get out of his bed other than nurses getting him to the pot, and that happens a lot.
It isn't the cholera.
It does sound a lot like the cholera. I'm very worried.
He might be called to heaven sooner than we thought, Sergeant. That's a very serious illness.
He does dab at his forehead. It would be a great loss to all the community to lose such a great man. I'll certainly be praying for him. But cholera here in Uppsala, that does kind of seem like a strange thing.
Perhaps the good people here are a little hardier than elsewhere, but I've seen plenty of cases.
Maybe so.
I damn near contracted myself once, I'll have you know, but luckily escaped it.
You survived, wow.
No, I suspect I'd never contracted it, but I was in contact with people who were nasty business.
Very.
They're consulting the best of physicians.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Uppsala has a hospital, right? A pretty good one. It's like the best in the country, I think.
Yeah, they do.
If he's in good hands anywhere, it's here.
Very likely.
And perhaps even though it sounds serious, it is premature to worry.
I hope that it is. premature.
Out of morbid curiosity, pardon the timing, but who will be next in line to take over if the Archbishop should be called to heaven?
I need to ask a quick question. Do you happen to know if in Lutheranism that, like, would archbishops get, would they, like, do Latinized names like the Pope does? Does he have to call himself, like, Johann Peter or something?
Possibly. I'm not super up on that.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But this is your Mythic North, right? So
right.
You make a decision, we'll go with it.
Well, if Archbishop Ospelund were to pass away...
Wait a minute. Isn't the Archbishop mentioned in the book?
If he is, then his real name is not Ospelund.
Yeah, well, okay. Maybe it is now. I think it's Henrik something or other, right?
Okay.
Ah, yes. Archbishop of Sweden, Henrik Reuterdahl, has his seat in Uppsala.
Okay. Henrik Reuterdahl.
Yes.
I will write him down.
Allegedly, the altar in here contains a relic of the True Cross, which should be of interest.
Well, the Bishop Hans Ospelund would be the most likely successor, though I think that they would probably... there may be a convocation to advise the king as to who should be appointed.
Well, it all sounds like matters well above our heads, our lowly stations.
Yes. Well, they've got this powerful relic here at the cathedral, fragment of the True Cross. What I heard is that early in the illness, they did bring the archbishop here to pray over the altar to ask that it be, that the illness be taken from him, and I feel it kind of is an ill omen that it does not look like that prayer has been granted yet.
Hmm.
Wonder if there are more, well, wink, wink, sinister forces at work. Not a wink, just a knowing look.
What does your copious religious knowledge say of this, Sergeant?
I'm sure he could come up with some words about God's plan and our life here is unimportant. It's the afterlife that's more important. Our bishop has served a good life serving the community and so forth.
As people have been going out, perhaps you notice out of the corner of your eye, Franz, that there has been a man who has lingered in front of the altar praying fervently. And he has gotten up and he's starting to come out, but he overhears your conversation and he comes over to the three of you. Hello, gentlemen. I believe I heard you talking about the Archbishop. Please forgive me for intruding. My name is Oscar Sandstrom, and I came up from Nosby. Wonder if that's how you say it. An A with the umlaut over it. Nosby?
Yeah.
I have come up from Nosby this Sunday, especially to pray here at the altar and to seek the miracle of the relic. Because...
Sorry, do you mean the two dots?
Yes, the two dots.
Aye, okay, I'm mixing them up. The ring is or, the two dots is ah. It's like...
Nosby.
Yeah.
So basically tells you he's from Nosby, and he has come up to offer a prayer seeking some intervention. There was recently a declaration from the Archbishop that the local church in Nosby was to be demolished and to be replaced with a grand new edifice, a cathedral, which might be somewhat of a grand plan given how small of a village Nosby is. But the builders out in Nosby have also fallen ill, that they've got very similar sounding symptoms. We're very worried about them. We've had the doctor come out to look at them, but they're not sure if they could survive even the train journey into Uppsala right now. So I have come to pray for their sake, so that perhaps they will get better enough for us to bring them into Uppsala.
I'll elbow the sergeant a bit. I'm like, we shall also pray for them. Shall we not, sergeant?
Yes, yes. Nasby, you say?
In Nasby, yeah.
Let's go offer our prayers. So as we walk away out.
Yeah, so you part ways with Sohn and Oscar.
So you're thinking a trip?
Oh, yes. This sounds most curious.
There may be something for our interests. I see that.
Indeed. Some power is certainly at work over in this this small community. He said by train, so it shouldn't take very long to get there.
After finish up the prayers, then let's head back and pack up for our trip.
Should I try to arrange some sort of accompaniment with this Oscar? We could join him maybe to return.
Yes, it might be good to have an introduction from the local, get a better understanding of the situation and the people.
Good. I shall make an overture.
So you're going to catch Oscar before he leaps the cathedral?
Perhaps that could count as an advantage in the in the mystery.
Yep. All right. Let me glance over advantages real quick.
If it's a person, I think he would be essentially like a resource or a guide. And
okay.
I think at one point during the mystery, I can call on him for a bonus, if I recall.
Okay. So what I'm going to say is that you catch up to Oscar, and Oscar is already predisposed. I think he'll be, well, let's go ahead and maybe roleplay that.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
Oscar, was it, my good man? Sundström? Herr Sundström?
Sundström, yeah.
Well, myself and I'm terribly sorry. My name is Herr Nils Rask.
Oh.
I'm a resident here at Uppsala. Not terribly affluent, as you can see, but a businessman, and I have some interests regarding, well, curious things such as this disease you speak of. Myself and the sergeant I was with, Sergeant Lidén, well, we are considering making the journey to Näsby to have a look at this the situation and perhaps this church before it is torn down.
Ah.
Would you possibly be disposed to accompany us as perhaps a guide in the local area?
Well, certainly, Mr. Rosk. I was already indebted to you for offering prayers, but I will certainly help you any way I can if you think you can be of some aid to the situation.
Well, I certainly hope so, although I cannot make any promises.
Yes. I mean, if we could get another doctor out there, that would be the best thing. Our local doctor is got his hands full with several men being so ill, but...
Alas, I am not a medical man.
But, yes, if you'd like to come out and see our church and come to perhaps understand our situation, I would be very happy to assist you any way I can. So I think he arranges with you a time to the train going east will go on certain intervals, and he'll agree with you to go on the train at a certain time.
Excellent.
Later today. That's assuming that they run trains on Sundays.
Let's say they do.
Yeah. Otherwise, he came in the night before, and he doesn't know if those guys are alive or dead. But yeah, he probably came in very early in the morning, and so he'll be going out later in the afternoon. Giving you guys some time to further research, or otherwise look for other things that may help you. But Mr. Rosk, you may note down Oscar Sandstrom as your advantage for this mystery. And what would Franz like to do?
You know, there may be some of the priests here that would have been growing up the same when I was young, and so I may know them. Try to find somebody I could talk to and bring up where this decision to tear down this old church and put up this big cathedral came from.
That's a good line of inquiry. You do find one, a contact going back that you do know. Torsten Dahlgren is one of the priests here that you are previously acquainted with from your youth, and you shouldn't have too much trouble finding him. And it's like, ah, it's been a long time, Franz. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to see you, made good use of our teachings as children. Better use than I am.
Well, I did feel called to it, and any time that I start to feel like maybe things are getting too grim, my dear wife encourages me and I'm able to carry on, so I'm very grateful for her.
Lucky man.
Met a common acquaintance from when you guys were young.
She was always a lovely girl.
Still is.
I hear they're planning on a new construction out in Nesby. They're looking for more priests and to lead that, if that's going to become a more important place. And do you know?
Very likely.
Are you up for that? Or do you know why they're why this has been determined to be important enough to?
I don't know.
This new construction.
I mean, there is a factory out there, perhaps. That it is a textile factory, perhaps to be closer to the to where they bring in the flax, but perhaps they anticipate there's going to be more people moving into that village. But right now, that is a very small village.
Yes.
As to reasons why, well, perhaps the Archbishop sees something that I don't, that he thinks maybe there are going to be a lot of people there. Nobody has really brought up to me that I might be a candidate, but that might be, I don't know, to leave the city where I've lived my whole life. I would have to think about that for a little while. I mean, Vicar or Father Nistrum in Nesby has a pretty good reputation, but, well, maybe if they make him a bishop, they will need other priests under him, but time will tell.
So it's, Nicker?
Vernik Nistrum is the vicar in Nesby. He's got a two dots over the O. So it might be a longer Nistrum. I'm not sure.
I have some business that may be taking me out there, so I may stop by and say hello to him.
Yes, certainly do. Give him our best regards and blessings from the cathedral.
Hopefully he will be healthy. I heard that they had some issues with illness out there.
His eyebrows perk up a little bit about that. Really? I had not heard that. Do you know what kind?
What I heard from one of the locals visiting, that it's similar to the sickness of the Archbishop.
And that gets him rubbing his chin, or, you know, hand over the mouth, kind of. It's like, that's very mysterious. I wonder if, well, it's been some time since has the Archbishop ever talked directly to them? I'm not sure. It's very strange.
He said the Archbishop hadn't been out there recently.
He did visit kind of a preparatory sort of information gathering sort of a visit probably a month or two ago, but I'm not aware of him having been back to Nesby since then. But it has been only a few days since the decree was made. I think he has been taking it in consultation for some time, making this decision. But yes, I guess the builders had already been contracted and sent out, clearly.
We'll say our prayers for the Archbishop.
Thank you.
It's good talking to you and seeing you again.
Yes, good talking to you. Lord's blessings be with you. Be safe.
Make my way back to meet up with Nils.
All right. So, you do have the freedom of a few hours in the afternoon. If you would like to see if you can do for the research before you leave.
Was it just in my head that I imagined asking the sergeant if he could maybe poll or ask Linnea if she had any experience with this sort of thing before? Or
I believe that would have been in your head, yeah.
Damn it!
I don't remember you mentioning that.
In that case, that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Okay.
After speaking with Oscar, I'd like to make a respectful request of the sergeant that he does this while I attempt to scour the library for any kind of similarity.
Okay, so you're sending him to the asylum.
Well, he's a more respectable fellow than I am, so I imagine he would be able to leverage some amount of authority socially.
Talking the doctor into letting him in and things.
Also, him having friends on the force is, you know, that's probably helpful too.
other avenues of research that you would like to pursue right now?
Other than the two suggested? Not.
Okay. What was the second? Was it going to the...
I wanted to personally go to the library in Jüllenkreuz.
In the castle?
Yeah.
Okay. So you return to the castle and Henrik...
Or Algot? Or...
Not Henrik. Algot Frisk. Thank you. Algot Frisk takes the padlock off the chain on the door so that y'all can get in. What are you looking for in the library?
I'm looking for anything that looks like might have some relevance to the building or raising of churches in relation to the Vesen.
Okay.
Possibly also diseases related to Vesen, and I'm going to see if I can cross-reference as much as I can in the few hours I have available to me.
All right. Well, let's see. On those parameters, you do find, as far as disease goes, you find references to a thing called Aspertus, which is like an insect rumored to be able to give people magical powers if they have a pact with it, and that it commonly, being by its insect-looking nature and things, it's got some disease associations. Of course, the undead are very much connected with diseases, like revenants, people who've gotten up after they were dead and walked around. Those are not very highly regarded. There's creatures like the mare, who are also very tied up with black magic and decay and swamps, and will-o-wisps, of course, come out of swamps. As far as things related to churches, probably the first thing you run across is a reference to how the graveyard is laid out, that they've often found that from the the unconsecrated ground where murderers and convicts get buried, that sometimes the spirits out of that part of the graveyard will manifest in different ways. And there's a reference to, like, these animal guardians of churches. It's called a church grim. Mm. That is like... You bury an animal in the wall when you build the church, and it creates this guardian for the church.
That sounds like... those two sound very interesting, since we're dealing possibly with undead in terms of robbers and murderers who don't want to be moved, maybe. Or the church protecting animal. That sounds... So he jots down some notes on that.
Okay.
After the research.
So that's your... That's your library clues of your suspect lineup from what's been described to you.
All right.
Anything else y'all want to do in Uppsala before the evening train pulls out?
Did the sergeant acquiesce to check in on Linnea?
Oh, that's right.
When I say the sergeant, what I mean is Franz. So is Franz actually interested in going to speak with...
Oh, Franz. Yeah, for a second, I thought you were talking about some NPC.
No, I mean Franz. It's just at this time, it would have been respectful to use people's titles.
Right.
Are we regularly able to get in and talk to her, or is this something that's difficult?
I wouldn't say that it's difficult, per se. Sometimes getting through to her is... probably the more difficult part. It's like, I'm not sure that the doctor... I mean, if you went frequently, the doctors might eventually become a little bit resistant, but I'd say this time they're not. But on past occasions, you do have found that she has exhibited, like, kind of some dementia sort of an affect. That her mind will wander, and sometimes it'll be difficult to get her to focus on what you're talking about. That is probably the harder part of it, is do you catch her at the right time, and can you get her to... And she, even when she's lucid, It's like it's touching on something unpleasant from the past. It's like she does not, given how the society, what little scraps that you know about how the society broke up, it seems like she doesn't want to have to think about it too often. But it is certainly worth a try.
Go try and talk to her then.
The doctor does let you in. Probably good for her to get, for patients to get some visitation, especially on Sunday. It's kind of an important day of the week. So he lets you in, and she's in the common room, and there's kind of a large window, and she's looking out on the grounds.
Wish her a good day, and how she's feeling.
Good day. Oh, it's not too bad today. They left me alone last night, so I think I got to sleep a little bit better. It's so good to be able to sleep all night.
We're working on the upkeep of the castle. It's becoming a better place to sleep as well.
She glances around. Castle. Castle. I don't know how it is. I haven't seen it in a long time. Probably better that way. But if you can make some good out of it, that will be nice.
We're hoping to do some good, and looking at a strange incident. The Archbishop has fallen ill in the village of something Swedish, I can't remember.
Nasby.
There have been many people who have fallen with a similar illness. They're looking to tear down the old church there and replace it with the new one. We are concerned that there might be some connection.
Nasby. Granby? Nosby? Is that down by Kristianstad? And, you know, Kristianstad is a lot further away than this village is.
Not that far.
Disease. Is it swampy over there?
Don't believe so. They have a lot of textile industry starting up there.
Oh. Many things with magic. Ash tree wife. Fairy. I mean, disease also, you know, there's Spartus. Oh, Spartus is very, very bad. Very bad. It eats souls, you know.
Yeah. If you can give us any advice on either precautions we should take or things we should make sure to investigate.
Take your crosses with you. Crosses and holy water. They're powerful protection against many things. Where you can, try to find books in the place. Poke your nose in. Maybe the local people have noticed something more particular, more specific. Maybe they will give you... I mean, it's very difficult. Got to sneak around to get, like, journals and things if they don't want to tell it to you. Had to do that a few times. But yes, crosses, and take as much holiness with you as you can. It seemed to be the only thing that saved us, to saved me more than once.
Thank you. We will do that.
Remember your oaths and keep the faith, and maybe it will go well. Gives you a more pious form of good luck.
Thank her and take my leave.
If there's nothing else you'd like to do to prep right now, or do you have other ideas?
I'm sure we have crosses. I don't know if we have holy water as part of our general stock of monster fighting gear.
That is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at the equipment list and see if it's listed. In which case, you would probably have to go try to acquire it. What do you know? It is not listed. All right. You do not have ready access to holy water. You will have to try to find it some way.
Go back to your priest friend like, so,
Talk to him and just take my empty flask and stick in the basin.
What's the bubbling noise?
Okay, so you're trying to unobtrusively obtain the holy water from the font? Or are you trying to talk somebody into filling it for you?
I mean, if he's your priest friend, right?
Yeah.
He would know that you grew up, or know that you have a religious background, that you're probably fairly devout. Like, it wouldn't maybe be odd if you say, like, I'm going on somewhere and I would like to have some piece of holiness with me or something. Maybe you would be able to convince him that way. We're leaving the sacred town of Uppsala, going into the wild countryside, right? Any additional protection would be nice.
Take a bit of the holiness of the cathedral to the backwards wilds there.
Yeah.
But you know that it's for the baptisms and for the consecrations here. I'm not sure that it stays holy when you take it away, does it? I'm not sure it's allowed. And he rubs his chin. I would like you to make a manipulation roll for this. Okay. You have gotten one success. So out of your five dice, one of them rolled
a six.
And so he does acquiesce to your request. And he's like, you know what?
We're not asking for a barrel here.
I think you're right. It's not a big thing to ask for. And so I will fill your file for you and send it with you with our prayers and blessings. So you may add the asset holy water to your equipment.
For future reference, is it normally a purely player-facing mechanic, or because I seem to have read an example where they used resistance.
Ah, resistance.
I'm just asking, like, if there's a grade, like if it's not a very difficult situation, you're just looking for successes. But if it is a
right.
it's a versus.
Right. And my feeling was that he did not have. I mean, he did not particularly immediately see the reason to do it, but he was not going to be actively against you doing it. And therefore I decided to call it a one success standard test. So yeah, you've acquired the asset or equipment of holy water, and my feeling is that in the situation where that's going to be important to you, that will give you, I think for a one success thing, we're talking a plus one bonus, and the effect is that if you need to consecrate ground, you can use inspiration to consecrate ground. So in that case, if you used it on that particular roll, you would have plus one that inspiration roll. Anything else anybody would like to do in the city?
If there's time, we should probably do the equipment, like gearing up part, right?
Okay.
Which is it was a resources roll, right? To see if we got any successes to spend on stuff.
So, yeah, you can both go ahead and roll your resources value.
Get one.
I got nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Things that you might be able to get hold of include things like writing utensils and paper, simple bandages, a cooking pot, simple provisions. It is Sunday,
yeah. So
it's more like scrounging around and going to Algot and being, or yeah, Algot Frisk and being like, can I take this cooking pot? Or taking some cloth and boiling it so that it'll be clean to get to make the bandages, because shops aren't going to be open.
I mean, it seems to be like a functioning village, right? So I don't think a whole lot of stuff other than potentially, like, maybe simple bandages would be required. We could possibly get most of what we need from locally, right?
Right. A lot of stuff you could probably get there.
But this is mainly, like, this is mainly for having a bonus in particular situations, right? This is not, like, the day-to-day needs. Yeah, I'll go for the simple bandages if I can cajole Algot to do something like that for us.
You got your success, so I will say that he will be more than happy to prepare those for you.
So I write those down along with the rest of my equipment here, with the slide rule and hurricane lamp and
yep.
Simple bandages. Bonus is one, and it's for medicine. Okay.
Yep.
Done.
And then it's around the time that, well, were you going to meet Oscar at the railway station, or was he going
to
stop by the castle? Okay. He meets you there, and you buy your train tickets. It's about 35 kilometers, so local-ish.
Whole day's
hour,
march.
Hour and a half.
Yeah, it's...
It would be a day on a horse, but an hour and a half or so on a train. You know, although it's I have called it an early spring day. As you get, 15, 20 kilometers out of the city, clouds are gathering, and it's kind of getting cold. You can feel the cold in the glass through the in the railway carriages, and the trees get denser around the tracks as you go. But you pull into the station. It's not much more than a simple platform and a depot. It kind of looks like there's a barn further down where a train could pull in to be worked on. And across from that, there's a brick, kind of a two-story brick building. And that looks to you like it's probably the mill. There's not a whole lot of smoke coming out of it right now. It being Sunday evening, it may be in, the boilers in kind of a maintenance state. That they're keeping it warm, but they're probably not doing a lot of work.
And we see the site of the church from the railway station?
There are trees, there are houses, probably coming to the east end of the platform and looking up past. You glimpse a two-story building across the road, but further down you see the cross spire. It's kind of up the hill from the mill and this other two-story building.
So Nils pulls the lapels of his winter coat close around him and then looks to Oscar and the sergeant and goes, "So where might we find some lodging perhaps for the night and possibly several more days?"
"I could probably put you up in my own home. It's also possible that you might see a corner in the factory dormitory over there." He motions to the two-story building. "But half of the upper floor is where the builders have been put up right now. So between the builders and the factory workers, it may be a bit tight in the dormitory."
"Well, if it isn't a terrible disposition. Learn English, man. If it isn't a horrible imposition, I think I would rather prefer your home to the factory."
"Then we'll see about finding a blanket and maybe making a bit of a straw mat to accommodate another person on the floor, and we'll be able to, we may be elbows room, but we can do it."
"There is a bed, at least for the sergeant, yes?"
"There is definitely a bed that I can give to the sergeant, and I'll sleep on the floor, and we can make the room. There's one other issue that I will want to address real quick. It is only fitting that we get an advantage for Franz."
"Ah, yes."
"Of course, it was a short journey. Perhaps you had a conversation with another person on the train, or perhaps you went into reverie and a memory resurfaced that may help you this time, or what are some things that you think might form a basis for an advantageous circumstance?"
"Yeah, maybe I'm going back to my lessons in my youth that I learned, and maybe there's something there, that some story or something that is connecting here."
"Lesson from your youth.
Some other church, new church being founded, or some old church being torn down or something."
"Yeah, you remember it being said to you that you must always be respectful around a church, that you must never speak a word of blasphemy within the hallowed grounds or within sight of the church spire. Never speak blasphemy, or the guardian of the church may visit vengeance upon you. So mind your manners and don't take the name of God in vain anywhere near the church. So this lesson, this caution against blasphemy, can be put in your pocket as an advantage to be used sometime during this mystery. Perhaps it was your grandfather who said this to you.
Okay.
All right. So you have arrived in the village with Oscar, and perhaps there were a few other people who went into town or went into the city for the day, being the one day that they could get away, and now they are setting off from the station, heading towards the dormitory. Perhaps they are mostly youngish women who probably work the looms, and a few men returning to the... You figure that there's, you know, it's mostly people who are coming out on their weekly commute.
Very well. Do any of them at all look sickly?
No.
I would know.
Their faces may be drawn with care, but none of them appear to have, you know, the jaundice or anything. They do not appear to be sick.
Very well. Well, Oscar, my man, lead on.
All right.
When I say my man, I mean my good man.
Yes. So he takes you up the hill, past the church, kind of into kind of a down of a side road where there are more trees, and he takes you to his house, and there he starts the fire and is able to make the bed for the sergeant, and he gets some hay from out back where, or from his little barn where his horse and other animals are. He gets some clean hay and makes up a roll for himself on the floor and a roll for you, so that there's bedding for everyone inside the little house, little two-room. It's just kind of a partition between kind of the cooking space and the sleeping space. And then there's a little bit of afternoon left before dusk fully sets in, if you would like to visit a place and meet some people. And Oscar does suggest perhaps taking you to see the church, or because you had mentioned wanting to see the church.
Yeah.
He takes you back over to where the church is, near to the church. Well, you see that the church is, you know, it's probably 20, 30 feet tall. It's not really large. I'm thinking you can see on the outside that it's kind of been, that it's plastered to be smooth. But as you approach the entrance, there are some places where there's kind of been some scaffolding put up, and on one corner by the entrance, some of that plaster has been broken away, and that underneath you can see that this was a log structure before.
Hmm.
So it's kind of been, what I'm particularly thinking of is, I probably not both of you, but at least one of you has played Draugen. And it's about the size of the church in Draugen, where it could maybe hold 20 people or so inside.
Yeah, not too terribly large, yeah.
Yeah, it's about that size where, you know, you'll have a couple of seats on each side of the aisle, kind of going up the aisle. That's what you figure about the size is. And demolition, some perfunctory demolition work had started but had not proceeded very far. And off to one side, there is another house that you take to be the rectory. A man is out front in the yard, and he sees you coming up to the church, and he comes and meets you at the entrance. And Oscar is I'd like to introduce you. This is our vicar, Vernick Nystrom. Vernick, or Father Nystrom, this is Nils Rosk. Nils Rosk and Franz Lieden, whom I met in Uppsala at the cathedral today.
How do you do, Vicar?
Oh, very well. Thank you.
I reached for, of course, for a handshake.
Yes. He'll return the handshake. What brings you out this evening with Oscar to our little village?
Well, I shan't put words in the good sergeant's mouth, but for my part, I'm rather interested in the history of the place and the history of the church. Would I like to see it one last time before it is gone and replaced by a newer, grander thing?
Indeed. I shall be happy to tell you what I know. They say that this church is about at least 300 years old, perhaps upwards of 400 years, that it has served this small community for rather a long time. Obviously, it was a log structure before, but perhaps in the 1700s, the records that I have indicate was when they plastered around it to reinforce it, make the structure last longer. In more recent times, the plaster has started to weather and kind of fall away, and, you know, we've kept it up as best that we can, but with the coming of the factory, I believe it was, well, when the Archbishop visited, he was keen to perhaps get more of the people to settle here and not have to commute or live in the dormitory so much, so he wanted a...
Privately, a most irreverent thought occurs to Niels, that perhaps the Archbishop was jealous of the size of the factory compared to the church, but he dismisses that.
Yes, we do have parish records going back a long way, with at least records of, you know, the births and deaths and marriages in this in the village.
Niels scans around as the vicar is talking, to see where he can, if he can see where the graveyard, churchyard graveyard is in relation to the actual church and the...
All right.
Is it adjacent? Is it right next to it? Or is it like a slightly... Is it on a hill nearby? Or
I'm going to say that it is adjacent, that it kind of borders the church on two sides, that you can see some graves within a low wall on the east side of the church.
Hmm.
But then stones and other markers appear to go past it, past another wall, across, you know, on that hillside on the north side of the church.
I presume you've mostly had good God-fearing folk living in this, in Nesby?
Mostly, yes.
Nevertheless, there usually are some reprobates.
Unfortunately, yes.
Have you some buried outside of the churchyard?
That would be the north side, kind of beyond that other small wall there.
You'll have to excuse my curiosity here. I have a slight and guilty pleasure in cataloging the criminals of the realm, as it were.
Unfortunately, their stones have not been as well cared for as the ones that have descendants,
of course,
still living in the village. But there are a few, and there may be some rubbings that, I mean, of my predecessors, more than one was interested in such things and has stored some rubbings among the church records.
So he points then to the part where the plaster has been knocked away and revealing the logs. Another point of curiosity. You say this used to be a log structure at first, but I find many old buildings, including some modern barns, have a stone base.
Oh, indeed, yes. That is true.
Do you know if this is the case with this church indeed?
It is true that there is a stone foundation to the church.
And we have no record of how far back this might go? Or
As to whether there was a previous church on the site.
Perhaps built at the same time as the rest of a log structure?
There are records that that indicate that there was a quarry some distance from here where the stones were quarried, and that it was intentional because they did not want the logs to come to rot as quickly as they would without a good foundation on the church. So he does answer in the affirmative.
Nils will nod sagely, look over to the sergeant, see if he has anything he might want to ask the vicar.
Are there any old stories about guardians of the church, maybe guardian angels or such, overlooking the area?
He rubs his chin. Well, it is a common story. Occasionally I do hear people cautioning each other to not offend the guardian. Yes, I have heard of such things.
You have heard of such things, but these are not things you yourself advise?
Well, I mean, I don't wish I was more up to date on, you know, what the beliefs of Lutheranism are, whether they have saints and that sort of thing.
There's the yes and no. Okay. Not in the sense of like the faith isn't lousy with saints, but there are certainly people like Saint Eric in Uppsala Cathedral, for instance.
Okay. I mean, beyond the saints, to a certain degree, it does feel a lot like if you're not talking about saints and angels, these things about, you know, animals and what this practice of, in the very, very old churches, of people burying animals in the walls to make a guardian spirit, that sort of a thing, that seems... I feel it is a lot like talking about the Vater and people leaving out gifts and things, where I do not know that there's a lot of veracity to that, but on the other hand, you know, we're not immune to taking part in such superstitions.
Is it perhaps something you might caution the youngsters with, so that they...
I myself know it is never something that comes from my pulpit. But, you know, I talk to people, and I know that their elders, their parents and grandparents tend to give such cautions to the youth.
Indeed, I turn to Oscar and say, is this indeed true in your family as well, Mr. Sundström?
It's not unheard of, yes. I believe I have heard such stories also.
You weren't told such a story, perhaps, by a grandparent?
I was, yes. Particularly told that I must never raise a hand against the church, and that I must never speak blasphemy around the church. That punishment waits in store for those who do so.
Without any particular mention of a guardian, this was merely perhaps the hand of God being the threatening...
We're a little bit more forward-thinking people, so it was more that God or the saints would I don't want to use the word karma, but that it's more of a... You will not prosper if you take the name of God in vain.
Of course. As a point of curiosity, a further point of curiosity, are there any elders here one might speak to about, who might know of what the church might have been like in its heyday, in their youth, as children perhaps, and what was said of it?
Well...
And it's an open question to both Oscar and the vicar.
Yes, there are some older people in the village, a handful, that are still around. And I've used male names really quickly. Probably the person with the longest memory would be Vilma Olofsson.
And this Mrs. Olofsson is a resident here, then? Yes.
Yes. She has lived in the village her whole life and does not live very far away, a few houses down.
What time is it? Roughly, like maybe I have like a pocket, what do you call it, like a pocket watch?
Probably about 5. The shadows are probably drawing in.
It's time for the evening meal, more or less.
Right. You might be able to go in and look around the inside of the church, but otherwise it is probably time to start thinking about getting dinner.
I point to the church and ask the vicar, may we step inside, have a look around?
Oh, certainly. He shows you in the front door, and although it is walled up, it's pretty easy to sense that this was kind of that double-walled thing. It's just a far enough distance that it stands to reason that there's an outer wall and an inner wall, and there may be a kind of a space or an insulation between one set of logs and the second set of logs.
Interesting for a house of worship.
As far as letting light in, there are slits, and then outside of that, you can see that there are other slits to let light into the...
Has the inside been painted, or it also plastered, or is it essentially dark wood?
That it's largely... It is wood inside, and looking up, there are rafters, the rafters visible, supporting the roof up above you.
Okay, well, I'm going to be a bit of a cheating bastard here, and I'm just going to ask, like, do I see anything with my sight? Any hints or anything? Anything in the rafters? Anything in the shadows?
Roll me an insight.
Okay.
Or actually, let me look real quick. Roll me a vigilance.
Vigilance it is. Ah, I'm not too terribly bad at vigilance. I have 2 successes.
You don't see any creatures, but there is kind of an aura left about the place. There is a presence that is around this church often, and that aura is more strongly in your vision around the rafters. As far as your second success, there should be like hold or a forward that's going to be good for you later on, I think. What I'm going to say is it does very much incline you to the thought that there is definitely a presence rooted in the church. And your first test that takes place in the church will have +1. So note that down. That you will have your +1 to the first roll of any kind that takes place in the church. Because seeing this aura kind of puts you a little bit in tune with the place.
Interesting. I think I place my hand on Francis' upper arm and sort of draws his attention to the rafters, and I say something innocuous like an intriguing ceiling solution, don't you think?
I guess I get some sense of what he's...
You do, yes.
Yes, I see it. That's interesting.
The vicar does also look around and say, you know, it would be a... I think I could share your feeling that there is a little bit something special about the church. And I, for one, will... mourn it being knocked down after the work resumes. I don't know what I will do in the meantime. I'll have to give my sermon, perhaps in the trees. I don't know.
In such a small parish, pardon me for being forward here, but are you perhaps part of a family of vicars who have traditionally shepherded this parish, or is it a position awarded to vicars from beyond the parish?
No, indeed. My father was vicar in this parish. For a time, it was while I was between his passing and me graduating from the seminary, for a time there was an outside vicar appointed, but early in my career in the church, I was successfully able to petition my assignment here so that I was able to take up the family shepherding of the village.
This would explain much about your knowledge and interest in the history of the place. If you would allow one final outrageous question and possibly request...
He has to steal himself.
Would it be possible at all, or would you know if any of your ancestors kept any sort of records personal journals, any such thing. It would greatly infuse this history with that human element.
Well, you must recognize that as a family house, don't have quite the resources that a library or a university would have. So you must recognize that some of these manuscripts would be quite delicate. So I would like you to roll a manipulation for him to give you access to the oldest books.
So, well, I guess I say, well, I assure you, good vicar, I am well used to handling delicate objects and situations. And let's see, manipulation, you said.
On the other hand, you do not come quite across quite as of the scholarly class. I can certainly let you read my own journal, my father's journal, but the oldest records of the building of the church, I am loath to touch those even myself, lest they crumble to dust.
I am going to push that.
Okay.
So that means I have to pick one of these conditions, and it has to be a mental condition, right?
I think in this case it would have to be a mental condition and would have to flow naturally from what is it that you're doing that ties into your extra effort to what you're going to loop in to try to persuade him that it is going to be okay for you to look at the oldest records.
Well, I think I'm going to get a bit frustrated, right, and maybe a little angered that that my obvious care for the objects and possessions of my betters is not coming through here. I am certainly well used to handling all sorts of things, heirlooms. I have worked, you know, in my mind, like I'm picturing all the scenes of like handling the family silverware and the family lineage books and so forth. I think I maybe pour that into the next, you know, argument that now, my good vicar, I have long experience with this sort of thing, having dealt with the annals of many notable families, some whose lineages go back to Magnus Lodulus and the old kings of prior to the Vasas.
All right.
You can trust that any records you place in my hands will be handled with utmost and professional care.
He draws back a little bit, seeing the flesh on your neck.
He probably can't hide that he's like angry about nothing.
So make that push roll.
And if I tag angry, that automatically takes a point away from it, or do I have to modify it?
On the push, you still have all of your dice.
Okay.
It will be subsequent rolls that you will have minus one.
So I don't add any modifiers here, any other modifiers, zero.
No, it's the same number of dice that you already rolled. So you're rolling the six again.
Okay. But here it rolls five.
Huh. Roll me one more. Just roll 1d6.
Oh, no.
Ah! So, the anger has kind of come through a little bit too clearly.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I did not mean to offend you, but I have tried looking at them myself and lost pages. I'm afraid that tonight will not be the time. Perhaps we can talk about this later.
It's been a long day for my friend. I think good we get some food in and he settled down. He's probably getting a little weary.
Of course. I apologize.
I just hope that on both sides we understand there's no offense meant. That if I did, I will turn my other cheek to you. I do need to say at least not tonight.
I shall ask God forgiveness for my impertinence.
Please. Let us retire to... Have you... Arrangements for dinner.
I look to Oscar.
Do not worry, Vicar. I have enough laid up in store that I will not impose upon you and your wife. But Let's see if he takes, if the vicar takes no for an answer. Suppose that I will leave it to you, because I have not talked to my wife about it. But certainly I must insist upon having you gentlemen for dinner tomorrow night.
I think we can perhaps agree to that.
Very good. I look forward to it, and if you have any further need of me on the morrow, I shall make myself available to you. You can part, and the vicar return to the rectory, and you guys to Oscar's house. Who comes out last?
Franz.
Franz will come out last. I'm going to ask a vigilance, Franz.
One success.
Okay. As you glance at, after the vicar going to his house, to the rectory nearby, you see his wife out to greet him, and you see that there are a couple of dishes near the step, or on the step, and they go inside and the dishes remain on the step.
Nudge Neil and say, yeah, looks like the vicar or his wife have some beliefs in the old ways.
Intriguing. Are we kind of drifting away toward Oscar's house, or?
Yeah, you've gone a small distance towards his house.
Yeah, you know, it would be really suspicious looking if I started going back and seeing what's in the dishes. But I am also curious, so I'm like, you know, I'm gonna I tell Franz, like, distract Oscar for a moment, talk about the war or something, and then I sneak off to see you. Yeah, I
put a hand on Oscar. Let's take a second to look over some of these gravestones there. And I had a friend who served with me from the village. Maybe he is buried here.
Oh, all right. But couldn't we get on with dinner?
Yes, as long as we're here, you know.
I'm going to let the vigilance ride for this, too. So he acquiesces, and you go in the gathering dimness. You can look around and see a few of the stones. So, for the moment, Oscar is not paying attention to Nils.
Okay, so Nils will skulk over to the rectory to see what's in the dishes.
There is a roast fish, and in the other one, there is water.
What skill would I roll to kind of recollect what I might remember of folklore? Who do you feed with these things?
Who do you feed with fish?
And water. It seems a very meager offering, so.
Oh, meager. What would be more suiting?
Well, if you were feeding something like the Nisse, who would be like a, you know, like the farm guardian, you would put out like porridge and milk, that sort of thing. But I don't know if this is a different tradition, right? This is also why I'm asking if I should roll something, because maybe this is something that Nils doesn't have a point of reference for.
I am going to have you roll a learning.
Okay. One success.
Okay. There are some animals that, at least as adults, are lactose intolerant, right? I mean, they do not have those words for it, but after a certain age, an animal will stop drinking milk. So a fish and water is like, perhaps it's for an adult animal.
Hmm.
Or for something that otherwise has come to dislike milk. But definitely, it's a sizable fish, and it's a sizable bowl of water.
All right, so I'll quickly skulk back to the other two.
Okay. Well, this one, this is my family grave here, and but next to it, that is our cousin who was a soldier.
So I'm looking for Nils to come interrupt us here today.
Right. So I go, have you found your friend yet?
No, perhaps in the morning when there's more light.
And it's getting very dark because the cloud cover is really drawing in. It is getting quite cold. And as you return to Oscar's house, it has begun to rain. It's kind of a drizzle at first, but once you get inside, you can hear the rain pick up somewhat. And he prepares supper for you, and you you all partake together. You break bread, you know, salted meat and things that he has kept.
Oh, very nice.
Is there anything you'd like to talk about in the evening over supper, flavor-wise or mystery-wise?
Perhaps Niels will ask a few questions about this Mrs. Was it Olson?
The old lady?
Yes.
Yeah, Vilma Olofsson.
Olofsson.
They say she's 80 years old now, but her mind is as sharp as ever. When I was young, she would tell the children stories, and she still does. I know that she remembers much of what her mother and father taught her, and also many things that she's learned in her lifetime.
Does Mrs. Olofsson perhaps have a sweet tooth or some interest in tobacco or some such? I was thinking of perhaps a suitable gift to offer her in exchange for a visit.
Indeed. Indeed. And when the general store by the factory opens, it should not be very difficult to get such a thing.
I'm just trying to secretly or sneakily think of something that I might have stuffed in a bag from my dry goods store.
Well, you know, it is harder to get really good tea out here, but she does love tea. When it's a little bit fresher, a little bit less bitter, she enjoys it all the more.
That sounds like a tall order in early spring.
That may be. But roll me a resources.
Okay.
And we'll see if you brought any along.
I just so happens to not have any tea.
But, you know, some small candies that get served alongside it will be welcome too, I'm sure. So you won't get a particularly large bonus on if we come to any rolls with Vilma, but
it's mostly flavor, but still.
Yeah. So you settle in for the night, you settle into sleep, and what I would like you to do is, I think this is going to be a physique. No, it's physique, physique, position, logic, empathy. Yeah, this is going to be physique, and I'd like you both to roll it.
Simply physique, nothing else?
I'm going to say simply physique this time, yeah.
Zero.
Zero.
You both sleep very soundly all night, and when you wake, you find that that the rain was freezing during the night. There is ice outside. And you're awakened in the early morning when there's only but a glimmer of light, and there is a commotion down the way from the direction of the dormitory. You woke with a sense of someone having cried out and perhaps ran outside and were screaming, and now people are gathering in that direction.
I look around to see if Oscar is still in the house.
With you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Oscar is also awakened with you at the same time. He is with you.
God, was that a scream?
Yes, it sounded like it was a woman's scream from that way.
Using my old soldier's reflexes, you know, I'm quickly up and got my boots on and coat on to see what the threat is.
Okay. So you arrive at the dormitory, and there are several people outside with a woman. You haven't seen her before. It looks like she's rushed out the door and is retching outside the dormitory. And she's like, it's terrible. And they're like, weren't you nursing the builders? Well, what happened? What could have happened? The blood and the carnage. And it's so disgusting. Disgusting. And that's... And she kind of coughs and sputters some more.
Cautiously make my way to see what she was reacting to.
Niels is not even there yet, right? So he's like struggling to get there, getting his coat on and so forth.
So you creep up the stairs, and you, on the far end, it kind of looks like maybe on this end where workers were staying, people have cleared out. They followed her down outside. And on the far end, kind of behind the curtain, there's kind of a break in the curtain, and you can see that there's blood and things. Fur and scales is the impression that you're getting from where you are. And I think you probably continue on.
Yeah, there's no...
Yeah, you don't see anything moving.
Yeah.
So you draw the curtain aside, and what you see is there's rats. They're dead. They're kind of in this pile, and there's all of this blood, and a couple of particularly large ones have been... They're intact, but they've kind of been... They've been skewered on sticks and forced into these other ones to make... They're piled up to kind of make this caricature. It reminds you of the spires in the front of the Uppsala Cathedral, and written in blood in front of this edifice made of dead rats is the word vanity and the word repent, scrawled in rat's blood on the floor. Yeah, that's the immediate thing that you see, and kind of around this are the beds where the sick builders are. And of course you've also got not just the stench of these newly of the blood and the dead rats, you've also got the stench of you know, vomit and diarrhea that the nurses have not, or the nurse has not cleared away yet, because she's out front of the dorm right now.
I'm taking a moment there to collect myself.
Please roll me a fear test. I better figure out exactly what fear is based on. It is probably based on, I think it's situational between logic and empathy. You are here by yourself. Nils has not come yet. Yes, you can choose whether you're rolling logic or empathy for how you deal with this awful display that has been constructed here.
Okay, and it's just straight, not any skill.
Right, it's straight logic or empathy. You're only needing one success here. And failure will make you fearful, make you terrified. It's kind of a special condition. Okay.
Yeah.
You can choose to flee, freeze, faint, or attack. Flee, you must use all of your actions to flee from the thing that frightens you. There's no time to pick things up, talk, or help. You're just getting out of there as fast as you can. Freeze, you become immobile, cannot talk or perform any actions. Faint, so like, yeah, it's run away, stand and drool. Faint, or kind of go berserk. There's no hostile person or creature here as far as you can tell, so you would probably just start breaking things. Unless you want to start wailing on innocent, sick people in their beds.
You bastard, you did this!
I'll choose stand and drool.
Okay, stand and drool. So you have freezed. Your body will not move. You're standing there rigid.
This sounds like some, you know, advanced Christian devotion fuckery, right? would this be categorized in a sense as like what do you call it? A word? Blasphemy. Some form of blasphemy, at least. Even if it's in the spirit of like, hey, this is vanity. This is not something cool. It's still like you're using dead rats. Something unclean, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's well, I'll think about that for a second.
I mean, also, there's also a traditional Scandinavian expression, which is you use what you have. So,
right.
If all you have is rats and you want to make a statement, you use rats.
Okay. Have you also come up into this place where Franz is?
I think by now, yeah, he's shrugged into his coat on the way over, possibly with Oscar in tow, right?
And yeah,
I'm asking like, where's the sergeant? What happened to the sergeant?
We saw a man with a... Did you have your pistol?
I wouldn't have been brandishing it. I might probably had it in a pocket.
You wouldn't have been brandishing it. Well, we saw a man go in just now. He went right past us.
That would have been the sergeant. All right. Thank you. And he ducks into the building and starts looking where you might have gone.
Things seem normal on the first floor.
Yeah, I kind of start a shout once or twice for the sergeant. If he's frozen, he wouldn't answer, right?
Having no answer, you go up and you see his back turned towards you, just beyond this curtain thing.
Yeah, is the curtain opened, or is it? Do I see a shape behind the curtain?
What you see behind the curtain is him, and you.
Well, I'm saying, like, did he, like, draw the curtain open so that I can see him, or did he, like, just move the curtain so that it's fallen shut after him, you know, behind him?
Drew it aside to okay. be able to see better.
Okay, so, roll me your fear test, Lon, logic or empathy, back by the stairs.
Okay. Right. I have a mental. I'm angry. I'm still annoyed since yesterday.
Yep.
No. Nothing.
All right. Are you going to stand and drool, go berserk, run, or faint?
I'm going to run, screaming. Oh, merciful God! What is this? You know, as I run down the stairs and out.
Yep. This is three people now that it has defied all logic. Their minds cannot piece this together as to why this would happen.
Please tell me I brought Oscar with me upstairs.
Yes. It's not a skill test, but, you know.
No, I just want him there, too.
He can be right by you and be like, what's going on? What?
So I'm heading past him down the stairs.
I don't know if NPCs even have the capability of making fear rolls. He's not far behind you. So now we've got her retching out front, and she's maybe starting to collect herself. And then there's you two. I don't know when you stop.
You know, I probably run straight to the church. That's probably the place where I would probably feel like there would be some form of safe haven.
So you're ripping up the path to the church, and yep. the vicar has come out. He's tried to pull on his collar, and he's heading towards the dormitory, and he sees you guys coming. And he's like, whoa, Oscar, Nils, what's going on?
Nils is probably kind of stuck in this kind of like, must get to church, must repent. Right. So he's just like, you know, hands over his head, just rushing for the church. He doesn't answer him, other than maybe saying, merciful God.
Yeah, so you don't notice much of anything. The doors aren't locked. You get past the doors. You run up the aisle to the altar.
Lord Almighty, deliver us from evil. You know, he falls into like the first prayer he can think of.
Yeah, and Oscar probably follows your lead. What I'm going to do is, the situation has ended up so entertaining. the vicar follows you in, and he's like, he doesn't know quite what to do either. So he makes the sign above you and says, peace be unto you. You will have sanctuary here. Take as much time as you need, but I also need to find out what's going on, so...
Nils clings to his habit and goes, the rats, the blood, repent!
Rats, blood, what are you talking about?
The dormitory, the workers!
Do they need my help? Well, clearly. Will you let me go help them?
Wait, yes, go help!
All right, I will go. You may stay here as long as you need to. And he goes.
Is there a, is it just a cross, or do they have like a figure of Jesus on the cross, or...
There is a figure of Jesus on the cross.
Okay, so Nils is on his knees in front of that, sort of looking up, like with his hands, you know, in a prayer position, just like focusing on the bloody brow of Jesus Christ, you know, hoping that this will all pass eventually.
Yeah, after a few cycles of prayer recitation, kind of the words and feeling come into your mind, be at peace. You are not part of this sin.
Well, that probably relieves some tension and some fear.
Yeah, so you're able to collect yourself. Similarly, Franz has started to collect himself by the time the vicar comes in. Franz, what's going... Oh, that's... And for a moment, the vicar also is not saying anything. But now you're able to move and speak.
I probably similarly are reciting some prayers to try to bolster my little defenses here as I take this in.
Such anger. I cannot conceive the depths that this must have come out of. It is not, it's not human, is the word he uses.
Would the sight help me at all to determine, you know, that this was something, you know, this was not a human that did this?
Yeah, I think the amount of mutilation and the missing parts, it's kind of like perhaps they were eaten. And so it does feel very non-human, very animalistic to you.
Figure I wouldn't arrange to get some men here to clear this up so that the nurse can help these poor men.
Yes. Yes, I... we also need to make sure that they're okay, don't we? He goes around quickly, checks vitals. They all seem to be still alive. And then he goes down to get somebody. It's like, you, come along. We'll need to clean so that we can get the nurse back up there. Men, you need to be strong. Someone has done something terrible, or something has done something terrible, but please, grit your teeth. Be men. They come up the stairs, and they're looking manly, and, you know, one of them manages to grit his teeth enough, and another is just like, whoa. But presently, they do get to clearing away the stuff. You said window? Did you say window earlier?
Don't know about that. I was looking around for signs of something coming into the space.
Okay. One of the windowsills is a little bit wet, and there's a little bit of fur, some fairly long hairs caught in a corner of the window.
Like some of those when you go outside and look around where that window is, tracks in the frozen ground. Or
it's a second story window, and what I'm going to say is that it looks to you like, as far as tracks go, it looks like the rain in the past few hours may have worn them away, is the most logical explanation. You've not seen anything but human tracks, and they're not, other than your own, it hasn't really approached that end of the building.
I start looking around. Where's Niels? Anybody seen Niels?
They do answer you that they saw Oscar and another man running to the church a little while ago, before the vicar came.
So I'll head that way.
All right, and you find Niels and Oscar in the church, looking a little bit more composed than they were.
Ah, there you are. I think it is clear now that something serious is happening here. Something, dare I say, even in the company of you, Oscar, otherworldly or...
certainly unnatural.
Yes.
That's hard to deny. I still can't make any sense of it.
Yesterday, Oscar, I saw the vicar's wife leaving some dishes out on the outside her door. Is this tradition? Do you do this here for the helpers? And
I think I have seen workers in the dormitory leave out porridge and milk before. I think I have seen the fish before. And, you know, I think that she said something about that there was a cat, there was a stray cat in the village, that she was leaving it out for the cat that she had caught some glimpses of.
Well, I don't know what I think, but I think I want to have a word with this vicar's wife, perhaps away from the vicar. Perhaps she is inclined to speak plainly, and yes, that's what I'm thinking. I shall do so now.
Do you want someone with you? Franz or myself?
Perhaps you could go with me, Oscar, just to make introductions so that I don't come across as a complete stranger. Or
he nods.
I think we should probably take this opportunity while the... Where is the vicar?
He's being to the men who are ill.
Ah, yes. Okay. All right. Good. We'll do this now, then.
All right.
You come along too, Sergeant, of course.
I can't acquiesce for him. Sorry.
It will trundle over to the... If they live in the rectory, then that's...
Yeah. You can see that there's fire coming from the chimney.
Are the dishes still out this morning?
The dishes are no longer on the step.
Okay. Well, Oscar, why don't you knock and introduce us?
He knocks and he hears from within just a moment, and the sound of a couple of plates being set aside, or maybe a utensil being set down on a plate. Some footsteps coming across the wooden floor from a room off to the right of the door, and she opens the door, and there's a small kind of entrance way, a foyer with a little bench in it. And there's a... I have not really described the vicar. I'm going to say that they're, you know, probably latter 20s, but don't have a child yet. So this blonde woman, latter 20s, in apron, obviously dressed for, you know, cooking breakfast and things, answers the door and is like, "Ah, good morning, Mr. Sandstrom. How are you today? And who are these gentlemen?" And he gives introduction. "This is Nils Rask and Franz Lieden from Uppsala, who came to see the church. They spoke with your husband." "Ah, yes. He mentioned them yesterday evening at dinner after he had parted with you." "Well, he's not here at the moment, but I can at least get you out of the cold, out of the ice."
"Thank you.
What do you need this morning?"
"Well, we apologize for calling on you without the company of your husband, but..."
"It seemed that there was something urgent, yes."
"Yes, I suspect perhaps the topics might... Well, I don't wish to give the impression that we are up to anything nefarious. It's simply a delicate matter, and perhaps your husband will think less of us or ill of us if we bring him up in his presence. Besides, he is concerned with helping the poor workers who were set upon."
"Well, as far as you mentioning nefarious and things," she starts looking a little bit concerned. Or puzzled, actually. She's mm-hmm. like, "What are you talking about?"
There's something happening in Näsby. Something of great import, clearly. First, the problems with the church renovations, and then replacement, I should say, and then the issues with the workers falling sick, and now there is a horrific edifice warning against vanity in the shape of the Holy Cathedral in Uppsala, in the factory dormitory. Well, there might be all sorts of courses, of course, I personally was curious, since I saw someone leaving dishes out for the unseen folk."
"Well, no, you misunderstand. It's not for unseen folk. There's a cat around here that I've really only caught glimpses of, but I've always had a soft spot for animals and also have been taught to care for God's creatures."
"Question to the GM. There is no particular way to determine whether or not somebody else has the sight, right? It's, you know, they confirm that they see what you see, more or less, right? At least for somebody ordinary."
"Pretty much. I mean, if you would like to roll an observation to get a sense of whether you think she has seen something more than a cat, I suppose you would be able to roll observation for that."
"What would the context be for me to think that she's seen more than a cat, though? Would it be like the way she says cat, or... I don't want this to be magic, right?"
"Probably. Surface level, she's being pretty straight with you."
"Yeah.
She's talking about a Felis domesticus that is 12 to 18 inches long and..."
"Yeah, so there's no real, like, simple, straightforward way of, like, for him to just intuit with his sight that this is somebody with the sight."
"No. It's probably more a manner of bearing and the way they talk about things. Mostly the sight is you can see the unseen, but seeing people with sight is, it's either going to come through their body language, or it will occasionally be manifest to you by other means. Sometimes you'll have weird dreams about people and stuff like that.
Okay, all right. Well, in that case, he'll simply ask, could you perhaps describe this cat, this stray that you speak of?
He seems to be a dark. She uses the word, the equivalent of tabby. It's mostly gray and black, that he's like a gray and black stripe sort of cat. You know, I don't see him around that often. It's mostly toward nightfall.
Whereabouts do you see this cat, out of curiosity? Anywhere near the church or the churchyard?
But behind the rectory, behind the church, is usually where I get glimpses. She kind of seems older. I know that's just my impression. He's not a kit. It looks like he's been around a while. Kind of got notches in the ears.
Is he a large cat?
A little larger than average, yeah. I mean, he does seem quite... Well, he's not a fat cat.
Mm.
I can kind of see his ribs. Or that's the impression that I have, and so I felt it would be nice to leave food for him, and often the fish are gone in the morning, so something is eating it and drinking the water.
Something ate his fill yesterday? Or tonight, last night?
He did, yes. It was not the whole fish. And she gestures to the counter that part of the fish is there.
Niels rushes to the counter, kind of probably in violation slightly of hospitality, right? To look more closely at this fish, if there's any left.
It's bits here and there, and it's like, well, you know, it's possible that maybe I'm not the only one. Maybe it's also, I don't know, going down and hopefully not stealing any of the Vater's porridge.
Nils is going to, you know, completely without shame, just pull out his slide rule and then try to, like, make an educated guess as to what pieces might fit together to make, like, a bite mark and how large it might be. Obviously, if he's getting any kind of impression via the sight that this has the same kind of reflection-type aura as the church, let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to do, like, a speculate as to the size of this cat or this whatever might have eaten the fish.
It's adult cat consistent. I mean, it is on the larger side, but it would seem that... Roll me an empathy.
Straight empathy?
Straight empathy.
One success, despite my being angry.
There are all kinds of things in the unseen world that can change their form and their size. But at least in this form, the creature was large adult cat sized when it ate this fish. But, you know, there's this glimmer here and there, and you're like, maybe this cat can change size. I think that's where I'm going to call session.
All right. Final shot is Niels, close-up of Niels with his slide rule over bits of fish. As his eyebrows raise up.
Dawning realization on his face.
Okay, very cool. All right, so she might be feeding the culprit.
Who can say?
Because she's feeding it, they've not been visited by the sickness.
Yep, all kinds of things we can speculate upon.
I still have the old woman to interview.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's the old woman, and there's all kinds of people around that you could still talk to or visit or... places you could try to sneak into, etc., etc. So there are plenty of avenues that you could pursue if you want to get more.
Yeah, for a brief moment there, I was a little tempted to insist we should eat with the vicar so that we could steal the ancient notes. Mm-hmm. But there will be an opportunity tonight, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps he will be actually more willing to look at the older notes, given what he's seen today.
Mm-hmm. So, very well could be the case, yes.
Yeah. We shall see. This is fun.
Okay, experience points. At the end of each session, your player character gains experience points. Page 25. So it is session, and we will do questions now. 1. Did you participate in the session? Yes.
No, I was sleeping for most of it.
That is true for both of you, because the character always gets at least one. Right. Did you confront any Vazen? No. Did you identify a previously unknown Vazen?
Not quite, right?
No. Were you affected by your dark secret?
Nope.
No. Did you take risks to protect other people?
It depends on how you define risk. I'd probably ultimately say no.
No.
I mean, rushing into the unknown for our sergeant, maybe, possibly, but that would be a very generous reading.
Yeah.
I'll let him decide whether that's yes or no.
Yeah, I don't think there was particularly known risks.
Okay. Have you learned anything? And if so, what? I think you have learned things.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely connected to the church itself. Like the
yep.
Some Vasen is connected to the old church. And
yep.
Is...
All right. So you would both get 2 experience points. Did you develop something in your headquarters?
No.
No. And did you perform an extraordinary action? I think we're still in early stages. So you both received 2 XP for the first session. And you will be able to upgrade when you reach 5. All right.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Ooh. Great.
Thank you.
Any business to come before the group at this time?
Insofar as talking about system or characters or questions.
Yeah, whether you want to ask questions or give feedback or talk about system or...
Well, I think we covered most of my questions in the course of the session.
Okay.
The skill tests and
yeah
and the like. So I'm good. No, it's great. Fun. It's cool.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Great.
I don't really have any super duper complaints. I don't think any of us are experts at 19th century rural Swedish traditions.
Right.
So you can't really like sit here and wave a teacher's ruler in the air and go, that's wrong, that's wrong. That's not correct.
Exactly. Exactly. I am, of course, making decisions on fly and making things up.
Yeah.
Extemporaneously, so. And that's just how my Mythic North is that it's going to be built in play, I'm sure.
Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, question. How long are the conditions mystery long?
The conditions are with you until you take action to try to heal them.
Okay, all right.
So if you want to take some time to attempt to alleviate it, then there is a role associated with trying to get it cleared.
And is that something a different character has to do, or can I do it myself?
Well, if you weren't able to do a recovery on your own, there wouldn't be much point in your memento.
Ah, okay, all right.
So...
Okay, so you explain how you use the item in question.
You can use medicine to heal others. You and your patients must spend a full day. Inspiration for mental conditions a patient cannot have. It is possible to heal your own conditions by engaging in an activity that provides relaxation and rest. Summarize what happens or play a short scene. The activity must involve at least one other person, NPC or player character, or your memento. Memento can only be used once per session. For example, you can have a conversation with someone or pray alone in the woods while a friend keeps watch nearby. Activities heal 2 mental or physical conditions of your choice, although broken cannot be healed this way. If multiple characters are participating in the scene, they can all heal conditions.
So, I don't think we should change anything that happened or you know, going. But in the future, if I were to be in the church with Oscar again and we're praying together, would that possibly cause? Yeah.
You would be able to heal your angered condition that way. Yes.
Well, we'll do that going forward.
Great.
That's cool. Awesome.
All right.
Right.
Then we will see y'all next week.
We'll do.
Everybody have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Bye. Well, I don't know if it was archaeology. There were some people digging a ditch in a place called where we now have the Birka, like quote-unquote Viking village thing. And they started finding heaps and heaps and heaps of bones, right? And they're like, that's weird. These are all human bones. Maybe we should call for somebody.
It's the tag where I mentioned you can go to our page at sunday-skypers.podbean.com. Find links to all of our episodes, links to our Facebook page and MeWe page. You can email us at sundayskypers@zoho.com. It'd also be nice if you gave us a rating or review on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. And that's all I got.